God loves us 100% this morning and wants to pass on that very loyal, faithful, great love to other people through you and me. And when I hear that, I gulp and say, well, God's going to have to do a lot of work then, that's for sure. But today, if it's a day like an average day in the life of the kingdom of heaven, which it is, mission experts tell us this, that on a day like today, a day the Lord has made, 125,000 people around the world turn to Christ for the first time and have faith in Him. That's an incredible number. And you and I get to be a part of that by being a part of the body of Christ. He uses people in prayer and in sharing good news or praying for a missionary, giving to God's work of missions and things like that, so that the good news about Christ can be shared. It says in the Bible, you know, that when just one person turns to Christ, that angels sing and they rejoice. And so you can think of all the praises going to God just today because of people turning to the Lord for the first time. And God invites us to join Christ being the great evangelist, to be on His team so that good news about Himself can be passed on. And we have to believe the Lord could lead us in that good way. Today we see an example of a man from Ethiopia coming to trust Christ for the first time. And God uses a very average Christian named Philip, and God uses His word so that this Ethiopian can put his faith in Christ. And Jesus literally pursues this fella. If you look at the passage real carefully, the Bible says Philip ran up to the chariot. God said, go to that chariot and stand near it. So Philip runs to the chariot and stays there. God takes that initiative. And I've shared Christ with people in different contexts. I'm not sure I've ever run after somebody. Maybe I should. Or maybe in my heart, you know, when you run, that means you know it's urgent. You know it's important to pass that on. So Philip ran up to the chariot. And a great way to read the Bible from front to back is to really see God in pursuit of a lost humanity. Because that's what He's up to. God is running after you today. As a matter of fact, whether you're outside of Christ and have yet to receive Him, or whether you're a child of His and have gone outside the pasture, trying to get food somewhere else, you know, God is running after you, and He's faster than you, a lot faster. So He's going to catch you sooner or later. Adam and Eve, they sinned and went away from God. God went after them. The whole nation of Israel, they turned to other idols. They were excited about everything except the Lord. You know, we could identify with that sometimes. And God went after them. He said, here's the commandments. Here's my prophets. Turn to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. And the prodigal son, when he left home and he was away from the father, he had a turn of heart. He was going home just to be a part of things again. He didn't even see himself as part of the family. He's coming home, you know, cowering. Would he be accepted or not? God's word says the man representing God ran down the road to get him. And so God would run down the road for you, for your friends, for your family, for people in your life that you're concerned about. The hymn book says the whole world was lost in the problem of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. And Jesus said, I came to seek and to save what was lost. So that's on God's heart all the time. And Charles Spurgeon said this about us being on the Lord's team. He said, one sure sign that you're a real Christian, this is a good sign to check out in your own soul. One sure sign that you're a real Christian is that if you have a concern that other people would meet Christ. And it's a very strong concern that you have in your life and in your heart. It's on your prayer, you know, list. And he all went on to say, one sure sign that you're not a Christian, a real Christian, or that perhaps you're very, very backslidden, is that you don't have a concern that anyone would receive Christ. It's not on your thought life. It's not in your prayers. It's not on your radar screen. So you simply have the Holy Spirit give you that test before God. And if you say, well, I kind of fail a test. I really don't think about people coming to know Christ or trusting Him. Well, if that's true, you know, you could just turn to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, come into my life. Save me so I can see others meet Christ and be a part of God's great adventure. He'd like to do that for you if you sincerely turn to Him. Remember, He's after you and you personally. So God runs after the Ethiopian. The Lord tells Philip, go to the desert road. Go to the chariot. Stay there. This Ethiopian was in worship in Jerusalem. That was a pretty important thing, pretty important place. But that didn't change him. He was open, but he didn't change. God went after him even outside the time of worship, you might say. And that's most of us where we're going to see people come to Christ. Probably won't be in this room. We want that to happen. It'll probably be outside where we live and work and go to school and things like that. So God sent Philip to the Ethiopian away from the place of worship. And what can you and I do to be a part of Jesus' team as Jesus being the great bringer of good news about himself? What could we do? First thing we could do is know that God will send you to a person to tell of him. God actually will send you. He'll take the initiative. And even when we're reluctant, I definitely have to catch up with the Lord when he wants me to be sent with somebody. I remember in another church I was serving, a man would come to worship on a very nominal basis. By nominal, I think he just came because his family went. He had a lot of problems in his life. By the time he was in his 40s, he had already gone through three marriages. This was his third one, and that was starting to crumble. So he kind of went to keep the peace with his wife. And when I thought of him, I thought, boy, I don't think he's ever going to turn to Christ because he needs the Lord very much, but he still seems to be carrying a lot of unforgiveness and problems in the past. So I felt like the Lord just told me, well, why don't you just pray for him in my own prayers, and why don't you just listen to him when you have a chance to talk to him? Just pray and listen. Be a good listener to what his life's like and the things he's going through. And so I did that, and really, with a surprise on my end, the man decides to turn to Christ and really trust him. And at the age of 40, started to follow the Lord as a real, sincere and excited believer toward him. In fact, he became our Sunday school superintendent, setting up the Sunday school classes. Eventually, once he understood what we're trying to accomplish in God's word, and faithful in asking teachers to serve. And, you know, when he asked this, people to serve, they would usually say yes, because they knew, well, God changed this guy's life. It's hard for me to tell him, no, I don't want to, I can't do that. So God will send you to a person to tell of him, and the Lord will bless in that way. The second thing you can know as a part of Jesus' evangelism team, there are people around you ready to receive Christ. There are people around you ready to receive Christ. It would be a great sign of unbelief on our part, and a great sign that we thought we were the first generation where nobody would ever receive the Lord, you know. That would be a dumb perspective to have. You mean people came to Christ during World War II, and when the country was being established, and people came to Christ when the Roman Empire was in charge, and we think nobody's going to come to Christ in America? In 2008, that's a lie. The biblical perspective is there are people around us who are ready to receive Christ. God is after them. So the Lord will have that happen with his great initiative. When we had our neighbor day, the Lord sent a lot of first-time visitors, and one of them was asked, did somebody invite you to the neighbor day? You know, somebody here, did you receive a letter, or how did you get here? And they said, no, I don't know anybody here, but I saw one of your road signs. And I looked at that road sign, and I said, I got to go and see what this is all about. You know, and when that Ethiopian was reading the scripture, and Philip said, do you know what you're reading? The Ethiopian said, I don't know what I'm reading, but please tell me what this is all about. You know, please tell me what this is all about. That's what happens. I think you are better than a road sign. Definitely. God has done more through your life than he did through the road sign thing. Okay, just a piece of styrofoam. And so what God has done in your life, the ups and the downs, the time you trusted him real well and the time you said, I don't know if I could believe in him, all those times work together so you are a credible witness for the Lord. And his Holy Spirit would work in you that way. God will send you, there are people around you who are ready to receive the Lord. And if you say, well, I don't feel like much of a sign because my life doesn't speak of Jesus. If somebody said, tell me what your life is about. And you say, it's about a lot of things, but it's not about Christ. You know, Jesus is not shocked by that. He knows our frame, that we're dust. He knows our spiritual condition. He can take us whether we be cold or lukewarm. Move us to be excited about him and thankful and begin to be a credible witness for Christ. I know I've seen the Lord use people who are walking close to him to draw others to the Lord and people who are very hesitant. And somebody says, oh, you're hesitant. I feel hesitant too. But you do believe in Christ. So it gives them hope when they see your weakness. Your weakness could be God's strength. So to know there are people around you, might you pray, Lord, make me a road sign for you at least. And Lord, in terms of what I say, might I be able to say, Lord, make me a follower of yours. Help me to say what needs to be said and go to folks that need good news. And of course, they're all around us. And the third thing we can know is that when we share with people, we're primarily sharing Christ, who the Lord is. So we get the best one to put his foot forward. If we present religion and primarily people, there's a thousand excuses not to get involved in religion. Gives you a headache, gives you a lot of burdens, full of hypocrisy. We can go on and on. How about if we just talk about churches? Churches are great. They're the body of Christ. They're God's people. But when you point just to the body without the leader, Christ, you say, well, churches, there's so many of them. How do I know where to go? You know, the people, again, I don't understand the people. I don't understand what they do, why they do what they do. But if you say, well, there's good news about Christ, who Jesus is, people be glad to hear something. He taught, his work, and what he did. I remember talking to a man I hardly knew who had lost a job. And he was real angry about the losing the job and the company that let him go pretty unfairly. He had seniority and he got let go anyway. So he was struggling. It was affecting his family. And just got to talk to him a little bit. And I said, boy, I don't know what to share with you other than I know when Jesus was treated the most unfair at the cross, he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And maybe you could pray that for your company, you know. And he was mad. He didn't like that suggestion at all. But he was intrigued by it. Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He started to pray that prayer almost not only just for the company, but for himself, feeling in despair. Eventually, the fellow receives Christ and begins to follow in a good way. Bringing news about who God is what the Lord would do. Philip began to tell him good news about Jesus. If somebody's lonely, you could share. God says he'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, God understands what it is, Jesus says, to be forsaken. But he won't forsake us. And you could share that with people. When people have worries about the economy and difficulties facing our nation, you could share, you know what? Jesus understood that. He said, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. My Father in heaven will take care of you. So that's, they could say, well, is there a God who would really take care of me if I would lose almost everything? Yes, there is. He'll be with you. And he loves the anxious one, the wayward one. I had a school principal tell me one time when I first started to come to church. It was a bold move for me. And he said, I see you're coming to church. He said, that's good. It's great to know that Jesus is the answer to all our problems. I thought about that. I thought, that sounds too simple. I don't think he understands me. I'm 19. I know a lot. But the more I thought of that, whatever problem I've had in life or that I've got to hear of others going through, eventually that problem points them back to the Savior. The Savior who's the truth, the Savior who is love himself. And to point them to Jesus, that is such a privilege and a calling we have. In terms of sharing specifics, you could share John 3:16 if you want some scripture to share. For God so loved the world. God loves you, Mr. Bob or whoever the guy is. God loves you. That he gave his one and only son. He gave his life at the cross. That if you believe in him, you would have faith. He'll help you with trusting him. Have faith that you'll have eternal life. You can have assurance that when this life is over, you're going to be with God forever. And just lead a person with good news from God's word. When you and I follow Jesus, and he is the great evangelist, we should know this realistically, that it is a very, very difficult work that we're involved in. If you want to know how difficult it is, I think it's more difficult than praying. I'm much better at praying than sharing the gospel. More difficult than Bible study. I could jump into the Bible, sharing Christ. There's difficulty. Much more difficult than worship. If you want to know how difficult it is to share the gospel in our culture, just take it. And I do this with you to move us to Christ. Take a quick glance to your right and say, is there anybody there that I know who has come to Christ in the past 2 years that is sitting near me? Or how about the past 10 years? Okay. And then do the same exercise to the left. Anybody there who I have seen and I've been a part of seeing them come to Christ in the past 10 years? And so you know how difficult it is. It's a hard soil time. Sometimes the hard soil's in the culture. Sometimes the hard soil's in the heart of the believers who don't want to share Christ or don't have that on their heart. But God calls us to be faithful and share the good seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. If the soil is hard, God can take care of the soil. We're to be stewards of the seed and plant it anyway. And it reminded me of a story I heard this week, the difficulty, but how God can make a breakthrough I think it was an Irish or Scottish pastor who went to his first American football game. He said he was trying to root for the home team. He could hardly understand what they were doing, but he knew enough by watching, and the scoreboard said visitors 49, home team 0. So he knew, and he said the scoreboard wasn't big enough to show the severeness of the trouncing that the home team was actually getting. It was much worse than 49-0. And he said in spite of all that, the cheerleaders of the home team continued to beam as if being out of touch with reality. And they continued to cheer. You can do it. You can do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And on they went. But he said, no matter how loud the tuba player played the tuba, or the bass drummer banged on his drum, everybody knew, we can't do it. We can't do it. No, we can't. And if you and I, in seeking to share the gospel, ever come to the point where we say, I check my right again, I check my left, they say, we can't do this. We can't do this. No, we can't. That could be a real breakthrough between you and Jesus. Because you begin to turn to him and say, Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. Lord, you are the one who seeks and saves what is lost. And I would be so glad and so honored to follow you in that adventure that would be absolutely impossible for me. Could you and I do it on our own? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Or would we turn to Christ and say, well, if any good news is going to get passed on, it's certainly going to be the Lord. And it's certainly going to be the result of us turning to Him and trusting what He can do. God can glorify Himself through your life. And He would lead us to abide in Him so that we might bear much fruit. Fruit of character and then fruit of good news that He would pass on. May we trust the great evangelist Jesus and be on His team every week of our lives. Let's pray together.